So I read a story the other day that you maybe heard. A handful of seminary professors was having lunch together discussing different Bible translations, something that often happens. And so the hermeneutics professor said, well, I prefer the NRSV because it's the most accurate of the translations. And the English lit prof said, well, I prefer the New King James because it's more poetic, you know, as you read it. And the professor of outreach said, well, I prefer the New Living because it's something that can reach into the lives of people who the Bible isn't a part of their background. And the professor of family studies said, well, I prefer my mom's translation. And everyone else said, like, what do you mean, your mom's translation? Said, well, she takes these words and she translates them into everyday life. And I was thinking about that, you know, because of what today is. For those of you who have been upstairs or who haven't been here, we've been looking the last few weeks at some of the heroes of faith from Hebrews chapter 11, and we looked at the stories of Noah and Rahab and Gideon. Today we're going to look at another hero of faith, one who brought many of you to faith, and the one who lives that last translation that I was speaking of, and that's your mom. So we're going to think about that here a little bit today. I was reminded of a scene from an old television show, and all I could really remember was the last line of it. So it's a pretty faint memory. But anyways, something like this. There was a boy lying in his top bunk, and he was talking to his mom and asking her a whole bunch of questions. Things like, how long does it take, like, to become a policeman? And then, you know, do you get to pick your partner when you're a policeman? And how old can you be before you have to retire? And she was asking all these questions, and, you know, she was starting to, what is he getting at? So she said, why are you asking so many questions? And he said, well, when I get older, I want to work with my dad. And this is a neat little scene, but the same is so true for moms as well. Moms, your kids want to be just like you in so many different ways. And so that puts a big responsibility on us as moms, I mean as parents, but as moms particularly. But moms are special, right? Aren't they? And there's so many different ways that we can see that. And so I want to think about that for a few minutes. But as I was starting to think about that, I was reading Proverbs 31, right? And you probably know that well, the chapter that's called, the Wife of Noble Character, and it describes this woman, and it says, she spins wool and she makes clothes and feeds the family and goes and buys in a field and plants a crop in it, gets up early, stays up late, helps her neighbors, and on, all these things that this lady does in Proverbs 31, if you've read it. And moms, when you read it, you probably think, I don't think so. There's a little too much in there. Because it's more like this. This is a line from a book called Simplify Your Life. It says, or not a line, a page. It's been a long day, but it's time to pick up the kids from school on the way home. The 10-year-old says, Mom, but what about baseball? You forgot you had to take him to baseball practice after school. So you turn around, and off he goes. You need to pick up the dry cleaning when you get home. Finish the cookies you promised for the bake sale. Suddenly, your 7-year-old decides now is the best time to show you her drawing, and she wants to know if you like it. Your 2-year-old son starts crying hysterically. He's tired of waiting and wants something to eat now. You're still juggling 2 phone calls and 2 children when your husband arrives home, wanting attention, dinner, some peace and quiet. You greet him and patiently explain why he has to go back out to pick up your 10-year-old. You finish your calls, miraculously get dinner on the table. When you finally sit down to eat, it's chaos. The children don't like the meal you prepared. Conversation with your spouse is next to impossible. The phone won't stop ringing. By the time it's over, you're completely frazzled. Everyone's upset. You're dreading the challenge of tearing the kids away from the TV, and then bath time, and then bedtime. You manage to get everyone tucked in. You finally crawl into bed, too tired to sleep. You murmur a silent prayer that your 2-year-old doesn't wake up at 3 a.m. again with a nightmare. You wonder if there'll ever come a day when you don't feel completely overwhelmed and exhausted. You love your kids. You wouldn't trade them for anything in the world, but you know there's got to be an easier way. Why didn't somebody tell me it was going to be this hard? That's what a day often feels like, right? It doesn't feel like you're the woman in Proverbs 31 that can do all of these amazing things effortlessly without batting an eye, right? We all feel that way sometimes. But moms, today, part of the answer is in another little story. Let me read it to you. It says, I wasn't feeling well one afternoon, and I decided to lie down for a while, my husband said, "No problem, honey, I'll take care of Ricky." No sooner had my head hit the pillow when I heard my 2-year-old call, "Mommy!" My husband, with his sharpened parenting skills, took charge. "Now, Ricky, Mommy isn't feeling well. If you need something, Dad can get it for you. Just say, 'Dad, can you help me?'" So, obediently, Ricky said in his best 2-year-old language, "Dad, can you help me?" Invisibly patting himself on the back, Dad leaned over to Ricky and said, "Yes, Ricky, what can I get for you?" "Mom." Moms, God has made your children and your husband to need you. There's so much that no one does like you, and that's so true. I want to share a few verses that say some of how a mom is special. So 1 Thessalonians 2, if you want to turn there with me. Most of these are just one or two verses, but that's all right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And just one verse there. Here's where we read it, verse 7, 1 Thessalonians 2. And this, we'll break in the middle of verse 6, where the paragraph starts there. "As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you." This is Paul talking to the church in Thessalonica. "But we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children." We were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. So he wants to talk about one of the things that they were like when they were with these people in this church, talking about being gentle among them, and the image that he used to explain it so that they would know what it was to be gentle was, we were gentle, like a mother caring for her little child. You know, as you look around the room and you see, you know, a few mothers with their little child, well, I guess mostly they're over there in the nursery, but that's one of the descriptions of what a mom is, someone who's gentle. So a babysitter, a care provider, an older sibling, even Dad, none of them quite hit the mark of the gentleness that a mother has for her children. And so that's the word that he wanted these people to see when they needed to understand what it meant that he was being gentle. So that's the first thing, one of the things that makes mom special. Turn over to 1 Kings chapter 3. And we're going to see another one there. 1 Kings chapter 3 is a story that we mostly look at when we're thinking about Solomon and what a wise man that he was and all of that kind of stuff. 1 Kings chapter 3 is the story of two women who were both insisted that a child was their own. And we read at verse 24 of 1 Kings 3, it says, "Then the king said..." This is after they're both saying, "This is my child. No, it's my child." And then the king said, "Bring me a sword." So they brought a sword for the king. He then gave an order. "Cut the living child in two, give half to one and half to the other." The woman whose son was alive was filled with compassion for her son and said to the king, "Please, my lord, don't give her, or give her the living baby. Don't kill him." But the other said, "Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two." Then the king gave his ruling, "Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him, for she is his mother." A classic story. Like I said, we'd look at it often to think about Solomon's wisdom, but really what it's about is this woman's compassion, that she was so willing or so much wanting her child to live that she would rather give him up than see this happen, right? Whereas the other one didn't really care, didn't really have compassion for this child. And so that's something else that is such a mark of moms, the great compassion and love that they have for their kids. I was remembering Greg Louganis. Does anybody remember Greg Louganis? He was an American diver way back when, 35 years ago, I don't know, something like that anyways. Olympic gold medalist. Like, he was a good diver. He did what he did well. And he was once asked how he coped with the stress of international diving competitions. You can imagine it, right? It's a lot of stress and that kind of thing. And so he replied that as he climbs up to the high board there, he takes a breath just before he dives and thinks, "Even if I blow this dive, my mother will still love me." And then he does it. That's how he deals with distress. Mothers have great compassion, and that's one of the things that makes them so very, very special. Matthew 23, another verse. Lots of little short bites because we got little kids in here with shorter attention spans than even us adults. Matthew 23 and verse 37. It says here, and this is Jesus talking, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." You probably heard the story told of a farmer going through his barn after a fire swept through, seeing what was left. And as he kicked aside a lump that he saw on the ground, underneath it were a bunch of little chicks, right? And on closer examination, he picked up the lump and discovered that it was the hen, the mother of these little chicks. And as the fire raged, she pulled her chicks in, just like this verse that we read, to protect them, and gave up her own life as a result. And one of the other things that makes a mom so special is how much they sacrifice of themselves. You know, those of you who have a mom, which would be pretty much everyone in the room, can attest to the truth of that, how much your mother gave up for you over time. I mean, there's so many things that they give up, right? Often career ambitions, dreams, desires, all this stuff they give up to care for some little children. I was thinking particularly about time, how much of that they give up to us. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter, near the beginning of 1 Samuel is the story of Hannah. So we'll read little bits here and there. First of all, just at verse 1 and 2, 1 Samuel 1. It says, "There was a certain man," "a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zaph, an Ephraimite." Why did I want to read that verse? "He had two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children and Hannah had none." Okay, so anyone who has desired to have children and hasn't been able to can relate to Hannah's plight here. Look at verse 6 and 7. "Because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat." It was just so much for her as someone who wanted to be a mom and wasn't. And so she did what many people do in that kind of situation. In verse 11, she says, she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. No razor will ever be used on his head," which means he would be a Nazarite. She made an oath before God, you know, kind of like, "Lord, I promise I'll be a missionary if you just help me pass this exam." Okay? So we do similar kind of things, right, that Hannah did here. She was kind of saying, "Please, I really want to have a child, and I will give him back to you if that's the case." And so the Lord gives her a child, and she gives him back to him. But she has him for like 5 years or so. We don't know exactly how long that he does, but for something like that, that she is raising him. Now we read about, I don't remember which of these verses is talking about it, but the sons of Eli. Okay, Eli was the high priest, what's in chapter 2 there? Eli's wicked sons, it says, right, at the beginning of, at verse 12 in chapter 2, and it describes his sons. And we might think, you know, if you were to read that, and we won't read it right now, but these were people who, if she is a good mother, why is she giving her sons into the care of these people? Because they were terrible people, you know? They were not the kind of ones who you would think would a good mom would want to leave her children with. But we see that she was somebody who, the time that she had him, the time that she had Samuel, she gave her life to him. She spent so much time with him that when he was in the presence of these people, these terrible people, he held true to the things that he learned in the first few years of his life. She knew that she only had Samuel for a short time, and so she made the most of that time. And as moms, that's what it's like. You know, you think when you have a newborn, and it's going to be 18, 19 years, this is forever, right? But anyone who's older than you who are 18 or 19 can say, it's so fast. It goes by so fast. We just have them such a short time, and we need to use that time well to bring up the ones that we have. We have to not just have time for them, but that's so important, but to really invest that time in the ones who we have. I came across a quote of James Garfield, who was once the president in the States, but this was before he was, when he was a high school principal, and somebody came to him and said, I need my son at home. I want you to shorten his time at school, you know, so that he's just there a couple of years instead of many years. And here's what Garfield said to him. It all depends on what you want to make of your boy. When God wants to make an oak, he takes 100 years. When he wants to make a squash, he takes only 2 months. We need to take the time that God has given us, and moms do that so well. They take that time with their children to make sure that they are all that they can be. Okay, two other verses quickly here. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Second Timothy 1 and verse 5, and we read there, this is Paul talking to Timothy. He says, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. And so one of the things that we see from this and other verses that are talking about the relationship of these people, that Eunice and Lois imparted their faith to their son and grandson, that he learned the things that they had from the way that they lived and the things that they said and so much more. And this is something else that happens so often as we think of our moms, is that they teach us so much of what it means to have faith and to be faithful through the way that they live and the things that they do and say. In Proverbs 31 and verse 30, which is that one that I referred to way at the back at the beginning. Oops. Proverbs 31 and verse 30, right at the end of the chapter. Or just about at the end of the chapter, it says there, charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. A mother who fears the Lord is to be praised because it's going to make all the difference in the world to her family. Keith was mentioning in the first service about a lady named Ellen McKellar, whose funeral was yesterday that we were at. A lady who feared the Lord, and it made all the difference to her family, and as a result of that, to so many other people in touch with her family. It makes so much difference, a woman who fears the Lord. If you have a mother who fears the Lord, be so happy about that. Isaiah chapter 49, the last one that we'll look at here. Isaiah 49 in verse 15. Let me read there. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. It's an intriguing story because you think, can a mother forget the baby at her breast, have no compassion? Of course she can't, right? But you know, sometimes it can happen. I was thinking of a friend or a lady that we knew years ago. Her son was my friend. And she and her husband, they were married 13 years before they had a child. They were unable to, and finally they did after 13 years. And so one day when she had this new child, this is when we lived in Ontario, anyway, she was from Ontario. That's where I knew her from. She had gone downtown to the store to get something. So she was pushing, you know, the classic little baby buggies. So she had this baby buggy, and she went and just left it outside the store and went in and bought whatever it was she was going to get, and then went out. But this store had two doors. And so she went out this other door because she had been married for 13 years and hadn't had a child, right? And I don't know what. But anyway, she went home. She walked on home and got home, and then when she got there, she realized something's not right. And she went back, and Charlie was still sitting there in the baby buggy, because this was back in the late 50s, right? And didn't have to worry about anything happening those days. So, you know, whenever I read this verse, in fact, that right here, I decided I have written Jean Stewart, just to remind me about the fact that, yeah, maybe a mom might forget. But you know what? More than all of these great special things about a mom, the last half of the verse is obviously talking about God. Though she may forget, I will not forget you. And look at the next verse. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Isn't that talking about Jesus? He will never forget us. And so we're so fortunate and blessed to have moms who care for us in so many ways. But how much more fortunate are we to have Jesus as our Lord? Let me pray. Father, we do thank you that we can be here together this morning. And thank you for the opportunity to honor our moms and for all that they have done, our moms and our wives, mothers of our children. Father, thank you for who they are and for what they've done. And I pray that all of us will strive towards these kind of qualities that we've seen in these different mothers in the Scripture. Help us to be people who are gentle and compassionate and self-sacrificial, people who fear the Lord. Help us to be that kind of people. Thank you that we can because of you, who you are and what you have done for us and how you have shown to us in Jesus these very qualities that we strive for. Thank you again for this time here this morning, and we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Peter.